Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Turn please to Isaiah 43. And while you are turning there, kind of take a look at Genesis chapter 1 for a moment. In Genesis chapter 1, the Word of God says in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give them to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. By the way, the oldest thing in the universe is the earth. The oldest thing in the universe is the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the space that is out there, and the earth. He didn't fill the space out there until the fourth day. These precious people who kind of keep wondering, what does it mean, the evening and the morning was the first day? Like, how many days did creation really take? Was it an age or was it a day? Well, the Bible tells you the evening and the morning was the first day. And we think of it as sun up to sundown, or in this case, sundown to sun up. But that's not what it is. There was no sun until the fourth day, but there were 3 days prior. 3 evening and mornings prior. So what is it talking? It's talking about the rotation of the earth. That's what defines a day. Just the rotation of the earth. And the Bible was written in terms that people could understand. It was not written in terms they could not understand. So nobody understood the solar system when this was written. Nobody understood the galaxies and the cosmos, although God gave them revelations about them. But people did not understand what that meant. And so they put it in terms that people understood. Why did God do that? Why did God put the stars in the sky to be for signs and the seasons? The signs and seasons are talking about those things that are of the gospel, the history of man with God, from creation to the second coming of the Savior. These are the things that are talked about in the stars. Why did He do that? Well, Isaiah 43 has the reason that God did that. Think about what it meant that God put them into the stars in the beginning. In the beginning. Before all things, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? Why did He do any? Why is the eternal plan of the ages the eternal plan of the ages? Why is it there? What is it all about? It's about a love story. It's about the fact that God loves someone. And God created them to love them. And God created all things that He created to love them. And He gave it to them. This is why we have dominion over creation. Because it was us that God loved. It's a love story. Isaiah 43 and verse 4, the Word of God says, "Since thou wast precious in my eyes." We're precious in the sight of God. We're precious in the sight of God. "Thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee." You know why you fear? Because you don't know that God loves you and He's with you. If a person knows that God loves them and He is with them, they will not fear anything. But God loves you and He is with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of people. You don't have to be afraid of circumstances. You don't have to be afraid of your boss or somebody, a teacher or whatever it happens to be. You don't have to be afraid. God loves you and He is with you. You're precious in His eyes. Precious is the word yakar, and it is a verb. It is not an adjective. It is a verb. There is an action and an activity to this. This suggests a living, vibrant quality about man that is not an adjective but a verb. I can't even quite understand what it is saying, that I am that precious, that it is not a descriptive word, it's an action word. There is something alive about the quality that we have before God. There is something alive in His heart towards us, and there is something alive about the love that He has for us. It's more than an adjective. There's life to it. There's an action to it. You see, this is why God made the heavens and the earth, because we are precious in His eyes. And He has loved us. That means to esteem, to be valuable, to be costly. It has the basic idea of being highly valuable, worthy, and indicates a high evaluation put on someone or something. How many believers in their own life say, I'm not worth much? How many believers in their own life says, I'm a mess, I'm worth nothing at all. I mess everything up, I don't do it right, I mess it up, I'm not worth much. How many believers in their life say, my portion is small, I have no great gift, I have no great ability. I don't have any great understanding and I don't have any great spirituality. I go to church, but if the pastor really knew what I was like, the pastor would not like me very much. Or other people, if they knew what I was really like, they would not like me very much. If they saw what is in my head and what is in my heart, if they saw the things that I do when nobody is looking, and how I think, if they knew the things that I really like, how many believers are like that? I'm not worth very much. Do you know when God said this to Israel? Israel is a picture of the church. He said it when they were utterly backslidden, seeking foreign gods. And what did He say to them? You are precious in my eyes. You are precious in my eyes. You are more valuable than words can describe. Your precious quality, that value that you have, has a life of its own. You are precious in my eyes. How dare a believer say, I am not worth anything? Don't you understand that all things that were created because you were precious in God's eyes? The very reason for there even being a planet, for there even being stars, for there even being a universe is because you are precious in God's eyes. This is a love that no one can comprehend. It is far beyond human reason or understanding or imagination. It is the love of a mind and of a heart that can speak a universe into existence, and it is just as easy as saying hello to someone. All He said was, let there be, and there was. Let there be stars. Galaxies were created, millions, light years across, millions of light years, huge quantities of matter and energy, just because He said, let there be. But this is the mind and the heart that says, you are precious in my eyes, in my sight. Do you get any inkling of your unbelievable value before God? How dear and how precious and how valuable you are to Him. You are more valuable to Him than His own Son. Because He could be parted with His Son. But why was He parted with His Son? Because He could not be parted with you. You are precious in His eyes. How long have you been precious in His eyes? In Jeremiah 31, in verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Before God created the angels, He loved you. You are precious to His eyes even before the very first angel existed, before Lucifer existed, or Michael, or Gabriel. Before there was even another thought in God's mind, He knew you. Because it is an everlasting love. And there was a point in eternity where angels were, and before that point in eternity, angels were not. Because they too were created. They were created before we were, but we were the ones that God had an everlasting love for. This is why we are the bride. Tell me something, in human terms, who does a man take as a bride? It is a young woman that is precious in his eyes, that he loves more than anything. And he takes her as his bride. You are precious in the eyes of God. You're his bride. You're precious in his eyes. Do you have an idea what that means? That means that there is nothing more valuable in eternity than the believer. You are the most valuable thing, being, whatever you want to call it. You are that which is the most valuable in all of eternity, because He has loved you with an everlasting love. Why do you think God answers prayers? Why do you think Jesus was so quick to heal? Did anybody ever come to the Savior with a request and He said, forget it? Lord, my servant is sick. Tough, you're a Roman. Even the woman that he used as an object lesson, because he knew that her faith could handle it, to show his unbelieving, unloving disciples what real faith was. Even she was not denied by the Savior when he called her a dog. And what did he say about it afterwards? I have not seen such great a faith in all of Israel. Well, you know what? He was extraordinarily pleased. You know what he was saying? I am more pleased with this woman than I am with anyone in Israel, because without faith it is impossible to please him. She was precious in his eyes. And he could trust her in a trial where it looked like he was saying no. But he knew her heart toward him, that she knew what his heart was like in the face of that which she could see or hear. She knew she was precious in his eyes. You know how she knew it? She knew it because she probably had a dog. And she knew that she fed her dog with the scraps from the table. And she cared enough about her dog, so she knew that God would at least care that much for her. But how many believers don't think that God cares for them as much as you care about your dog? He is God. We cannot touch in our understanding how much He loves us. We can't begin to touch how valuable, how infinitely valuable, without measure and without end, our lives are to God. Think about it. Think about it. God could choose what He would choose. The plan God designed is what God willed to design. He chose to make you. and He planned your life before the world existed. That means the plan for your life is older than the universe. And He knew you and He loved you, and that's why He made the universe. It was made for you. He could have done something different, but He didn't want to, because you were the one that was precious in His eyes. This is why you are alive. It was planned before the world was created, before anything began, from everlasting. You are the one that He loved, and you are the one that is precious in His eyes. How many times have you thought to yourself, I'm not worth? What's my worth before God? Oh, how simple. How silly. Isn't it silly? How silly. What's your worth before God? You mean you think you can actually measure that? Well, let me ask you this. What is the size of the universe? When you figure it out, there you have less than a drop in the bucket compared to the worth you have before God. All He needed to do was say it. But He loved you with an everlasting love. You get the idea? He loved you with an everlasting love. You are loved with an everlasting love. There is nothing that you do in your life that will ever change that. How many believers in their hearts fail in some measure or another? And God forbid we fail because we hurt ourselves in the process and we hurt His heart in the process. But how many believers do fail because we all fail in some measure or another? And they say to themselves, now God is mad. Now I have a little bit less worth in His eyes. Or how many believers feel like their portion is so small that they have less worth in His eyes? If that were true, you would not be breathing right now. The fact that you can hear and see and breathe and your heart is beating, the fact that you have existed once upon the earth shows that the value that you have is immeasurable, and it is way beyond that which is tangible. It is within the heart of God. Don't you understand that you are precious in the eyes of God? You know what I think happens to believers? I think they get familiar with the concept of God. Who is God? God is somebody encapsulated by the universe because He's all present. And so they put a finite measure to Him, a limit. No. God is not encapsulated in the universe. God spoke it into existence. He is infinitely greater than the universe. The universe is nothing to Him. He's going to speak the word again someday and the whole thing will disappear. And then He's going to speak the word again and He's going to make a new one. And it will be with all the ease and all the challenge of saying, hello. I say that. Hello. Come on. Hello. Hello. How hard was that? Well, that is how easy it is for God to create everything. You are far beyond your hello as a being. God is far beyond the universe. And He is the one that says you are precious in His eyes. Keep that as your identity. Who are you? I'm the one that's precious in God's eyes. What's your name? Precious. Who are you? Precious in God's eyes. What do you do? Precious in God's eyes. Well, you have to do something. Yeah, precious in God's eyes. It's a verb. It's alive. It's alive. Never accept the lie, because it is a satanic lie. that you are anything less than infinitely valuable to God. Everything that was created for you. And before God even thought angels, He had loved you. We think of the angels as greater than us, and certainly they are in some respects. But they are not the bride of the Savior. That's you. He loves the angels, but it does not say that He loves them with an everlasting love. By His very nature, He loves them. But you are the first thought that He had. The eternal God's first thought was, I love them. Amen.
Amen.